Alice Munro grew up in Wingham, Ontario, where she started writing as a teenager. She was married to James Munro for 25 years and lived with her daughters in Victoria, B.C. She has three times won the Governor General's Award, and in 1976, after her first marriage ended, moved back to small town Ontario. There, she remarried and continued her career as a short story writer. You seem to have an ambivalence towards small towns. One could see, I think at least, that you read some of them as being oppressive and as being very stultifying. Who do you think you are is one of the attitudes that comes out.
Well, not the small town any more than society as a whole. I think what you're getting in the small town is social attitudes sort of distilled so you can look at them. And lives played out so that almost in a way that they're like a stage, or the small town is like a stage for human lives. I don't think that small towns are particularly bitter or oppressive. The whole society of my childhood, the whole Canadian society, was fairly repressive.
You're known to write about very ordinary things and ordinary people, local kind of places. Do you think this could find a response, say, in an American audience, taking an Ontario
Don't you think
account?
Americans are ordinary?
Some.
Hey everybody. Hi, how you doing? Let's go! Sorry about that. Thank you for listening to George Washington. I'm Daniel Skolf, and you can find this podcast on all streaming platforms now, except for TuneIn. Or TuneIn, I believe it's TuneIn. Anyways, so now that that is all in place, please take a moment to subscribe and do the liking and all that other jazz. Do that, why not? Why wouldn't you do it? Just like do it, I guess. Anyways, what you heard before was Rex Murphy interviewing the Nobel Prize winning short story writer Alice Munro for the National, the CBC news program that it airs, I believe, every day right now, every day, every evening. Both have passed this week. I told someone that Alice Munro had died, and he had no idea who Alice Munro was. So, yeah, I hope that intro helped. But Rex Murphy also died. And, you know, if you don't know Alice Munro, there's a very good chance you don't know who Rex Murphy is as well. He was a Rhodes Scholar from New Brunswick or Newfoundland or one of those places in the Maritimes. And he had very opinionated views. Made a newspaper have to apologize because he said Canada wasn't that bad. But they really showed him. Maybe right now, Rex and Alice are up there in heaven interviewing once again. It'd be a beautiful sight. They really had some chemistry, those two. So on the show today, I speak with our resident sports expert, Jordan, Jordout, J-Dog, you know what it is. Talk about the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, and to a lesser extent, the NBA playoffs. There were also some exciting and sad moments in sports and sports news this past week. And it just kind of devolved into just random chatting by the end. But it was a good chat we had. Very good chat. A lot of the results have been ruined. Kind of, that's the downside of sports. It's that it's not very evergreen. I mean, after a few days, it's yesterday's news, literally. I mean, it's more than yesterday's news. It's several days' news past in the past, you see. So I wanted to take a moment to look at the news. So let's do it. Okay, so first up in the news, I think that Sports Illustrated is just straight up trolling Jordan Peterson because their new cover model this year for the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition is no other than Gail King, Oprah's best friend, the 65-year-old woman. Yeah, so I guess they did a survey of men, and they're like, "What really gets you going? What do you want to see? How can we improve our Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition?" And men were like, we're really tired of seeing extremely attractive women. That's so boring. You know what we need? We need some, 65-year-old women. That's what we need. We can't get enough. Gail King, Martha Stewart, that's what we're talking about. That's some real women. That's right. That's what we need. That's what the men want. They got their fingers on the pulse of what men really want. Indeed. But all power to her. I wonder if the other supermodels that worked so hard to get to that position, if it cheapened it because Gail King got there strictly from her celebrity. It's kind of, it doesn't really seem very, meritocratic. so to speak. Seems like someone pulled a few strings, like it's a Make-A-Wish Foundation sort of stuff there. But, I mean, as long as everyone's happy, no harm, no foul, right? And I mean, like, Gail was pretty chill about it. She just was like, yeah, a reporter lady asked her, hey, did you do any special dieting for it? She was like, no, I ate a hamburger beforehand. So like, she really put in the minimum amount of effort possible for this cover. It's like they're just like, it's as if they're just trolling everybody. Like, it's, they might as well just make a cover story that says like, we no longer care, we just don't care. But I'm proud of her. She did it. She had a dream. She made it happen. We should all give her flowers before she dies. I mean, she probably has decades to go. I don't know why. I guess because I had a lot of death on the mind with Alice Munro leaving us, as well as Rex Murphy and Darren Titian, which we speak about in the program as well. But that is not one of my news segments. We take more time with that one. The next story, Brockville. You might know Brockville. It's in between Ottawa and, was it Kingston or something? I'm not a geography major. They lost their only cinema in the town. And people are, well, I won't say that they are apoplectic. They're just not very happy. They're like, what are we going to do? We're going to miss all of the hot films that Hollywood has for us this summer. Like Ant-Man 5 or something. Yeah. And the free air conditioning with purchase. That's great. You got some snacks, overpriced snacks. And then the nice chairs that they've been putting in recently. Like, it's going to suck not having it. People need the entertainment. And a woman made a very good point, economist from the town. She said that the knock-on effects are really what hurts. You take your sweetie out to the movies, and then afterwards, maybe you go to the local Kelsey's, have a meal. That's not going to happen anymore. Who wants to go for a meal after a... without any sort of film or fiction or entertainment to inflame the loins, so to speak. Inflame the loins. What else is there in the news? Oh, I read in a blog TO that there's a secret pizza place, but it's very hard to get in. And that's all I know. I'm sorry, I can't give more details. It's very hard to get in. So I have no idea how to do it. Maybe consult Blog TO on that. Okay, so I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. And I hope that you, as I said, subscribe and always listen. And yeah, subscribe and like and leave a review and say that my voice is really soothing and it's very good for to sleep to. Like, that would really, like, if I could get to be like the number one ASMR/sleep podcast people use to sleep, that would be incredible, at least in the greater Toronto area. Just thank you for listening and have a great rest of the show. Jordan F. Jordan out. Jordy.
Yeah.
All right.
And the F is for phenomenal.
That's right. You absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Let's just get started. Let's go. So I haven't really been keeping up with sports that much. I've been pretty busy. So you're basically going to be my conduit to preparing myself for the next round of playoffs. I did see a few of them. I have been watching the Oilers Canucks series a bit when I can, but otherwise, yeah. Not really. But we'll get to that. We will get to that. Let's just hold on that. Put a pin on that one. Okay. Let's start with let's start with the East. So let's talk about the team that had you want to start with Rangers? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, that was an exciting game last night.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I really thought the Rangers were going to let it slip and it was going to go to seven.
Yep.
But they just, you know, it turned into Power Rangers last night in the third. Well, Chris Kreider did anyways, and he scored a natural hat trick to cap off what looked to be a game dominated by the Hurricanes. And, you know, the Rangers kind of have this habit of, like, either playing really dominant or kind of just sleepwalking through periods. And, they went up 3-0. A lot of people, didn't realize they won their first 7 playoff games, which is extremely hard to do. They swept the Capitals and went up 3-0 on Carolina.
Yeah.
Carolina's a very good team as well, by the way. Very well coached. Lots of depth, you know. They're built for the playoffs. They got a great crowd. And, they just kept hanging around. Like, you know, they were just not going away. And they stole 2 games from New York. So it was 3-2, and it looked like they were going to tie the series last night, man. It really did until the third period when, like I said, Chris Kreider, Power Ranger, scored a natural hat trick. They were down 3-1, and they ended up winning 5-3, and they're going to the conference finals.
Interesting. Yep. I just got to say, though, like, Washington, that's kind of a trash team. But I mean, all things considered, it's impressive to have swept them.
A lot of people wanted to see Pittsburgh sneak in there, but Washington snuck in there, and they really had no fight for the Rangers.
Okay,
they're going to go to the next round, and they're going to get home ice advantage whoever they play because they finished with the most points in the East this year. Yeah, I think they're happy because, for them to get their series over with before, you know, I think they've, you know, Boston and Florida probably gets that done now, but, they get a little bit of rest. Like, if that went to 7, that would have been real tough on those guys after going up 3-0.
Yeah, the Rangers, question mark, are they, like, a sleeper pick to do something in the Stanley Cup, perhaps?
Yeah, I think they have a really great shot at making the Cup Finals. I mean, like I said, it looks like it's going to be they're going to play Florida in the next round. They're up 3-2. They seem to be the more dominant team, but Boston is as well. Like the Hurricanes, they're hanging in there, and even without Marchand, they stole a big game the other night, and they're getting great goaltending.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the
sure.
Yeah, let's talk about Bruins and Panthers. How you feel about that? Who do you think?
Yeah, they go tonight, right? Yeah. Game 6.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we won't be airing this today. So, what is time, anyways? Right. So.
Yeah.
But they are playing a game 6 while we record this. it will be happening later today.
All right.
How do you feel about this series so far?
Well, you know, Boston took the first game. They slapped Florida. It looked like they were coming in high off that momentum they had from, you know, that overtime win against Toronto. But then Florida just took over from there.
Yeah.
And they've really been the better team. There was a point where Boston looked like, you know, in, I think it was game five, where they were up 2-1 and then Florida stormed back and won to take a 3-1 series lead. A lot of people thought that was a, you know, a dagger for Boston. Like, they thought they were done because Marchand was injured and it looks like Pasternak's playing hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, I know everybody's hurt this time of the year, but it's really starting to show.
Yeah.
Their injuries and stuff. And Paul Maurice isn't Sheldon Keefe. Like, he's been out coaching Montgomery this whole series. And you could say goaltending has been pretty equal.
Yeah.
But then Boston got a huge win. I think it was Tuesday. Like I said, you know, they went up 2-1, and Jeremy Swayman, he called it. He said they're going to go to Florida and get it done, and he got it done for them.
Yeah.
So now they're back home tonight, and, you know, look, I still think Florida's going to win this series, but if Boston pulls off a win tonight, or does, you know, does pull off the win, because whenever this is released, it should be interesting game seven. It should, like I said, I would still put money on Florida to win.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't surprise me if Boston won game seven and Marchand came back, just because they're a game seven team.
That's
like,
right, yeah.
It seems like.
Yeah.
Right? So, and they blew a 3-1 lead to Florida last year. So, you know, maybe they're thinking, okay, we could do the same to these guys, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, Florida's a great team. They went to the Stanley Cup Finals last year, obviously. A lot of people picked them to win the East this year. But, yeah, you know what, like, sometimes, I don't know, like, playoffs just...
Well, okay,
things
so,
get weird.
So I think I'm just going to go off of narratives and vibes for a moment and just say perhaps it's because this is... Boston is starting to see that this is, like, their last dance here with this...
Yeah.
So after this, it's going to have to be like,
I agree.
There's going to be massive changes.
Yeah, they're getting old. Pasternak is the face of that team. He'll still be around, but I don't see Boston really going into a full rebuild, even if they lose. I think they do more of like a retool.
Yeah.
You know, change out the old corded power tools for the cordless.
Yeah.
But I still think they're going to be a competitive team for years to come, especially with that goaltending, man. Like, Jeremy Swayman might, you know, and Jonas Allmark, two really good starting goalies. Swayman, I think he's, like, going to be one of the, you know, could be the best goaltender in the league for years to come.
And
he plays with confidence. He doesn't shy away from the big lights, so...
Just as an aside, not an aside, but just like a slight tangent here. Do you think that system of just playing two? I know they're like kind of going away from it now because it's the playoffs. But do you think that system has some merit where you just play one goaltender and then the next one you'd like just know your games that you're gonna play?
Like. I think that system has come into play because we're in the salary cap era.
Yeah.
Where no one wants to pay goalies big money, really, because it has been proven you could win a cup with a mediocre goalie, right?
Right.
But I think, like, during the regular season, it seems to work where the games don't matter necessarily as much and there's not as much pressure.
Yeah.
But I think, like, once the playoffs come around, I mean, it's like, I feel like one guy has to emerge.
And then you're
in that position where if neither guy emerges, you're toast, right? Yeah,
exactly.
So I'm still old school because, you know, being a Habs fan, like, Gary Price is the face of the team, and he literally carried the team to multiple, like, deep playoff runs and was the reason why they went to the Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, like, I mean, like, you have a – Habs have a pretty good history of goaltenders.
Goaltending, yeah. And I think like, you know, I really hope we're not heading into, you know, just a whole changing of the guard everywhere where they're just conditioning goalies to split the season.
Yeah.
But I'm still a big believer in you have to have a guy, especially once the playoffs come around.
Right.
I mean, maybe it's like maybe you could have a situation during the regular season where it's a 60-40 split where, you know, a backup goalie plays around like 32 games and your starter plays 60. Like, I think gone are the days where the starting your starting goalie played like 75 games and your backup essentially only played like, you know, once a month or something. Yeah.
But the question is, I think, the question is, like, we've had like 60-40 splits. That's kind of becoming more of the commonplace. But, like, the way I see Boston is different because it's not like they're basically equals and they get, like, it's more of like, here is your assignment. Like, you're assigned this game. It's not like they're not doing it where it's like, we want to get this guy rest or this is back to back.
Yeah.
It's like, they're doing it in a different way.
Right.
Right. So how do you think
that doing it a way that?
Yeah, go ahead.
No, they're doing it in a way that's like proving to be effective.
Right.
But like I'm telling you now, like, playoffs come around.
Right, exactly.
Still leaning on the one guy. Right?
I agree.
So
with that,
like I said, I'm sure it works during the regular season. But like, you even look at things like the Leafs power play or something, like, you know, not putting a defenseman out there or something like that, or and did it really work during the playoffs?
Yeah.
Right? Like, and like, sometimes things work in the regular season that don't work in the playoffs.
Exactly.
And that's why there are teams that are built to win in the playoffs and teams that are not built to win in the playoffs. And I'm not going to go and like name teams or name players, but like, I'm
You're
just saying like
that.
Having a number one guy is most likely is part of that formula. Like a number one goalie where when the playoffs roll around, like, okay, like, this is like the guy we're going to lean on. Like, look at Edmonton. Like, they're down 3-2 now.
Right, exactly.
And there's a huge question mark heading into the next game of who's going to start through Skinner or Calvin Pickard, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that their goaltending situation, because they don't really have a number one guy, is probably the reason why they may not win the series.
Like,
I think that's what it might come down to. Like, Vancouver. Even though they had a number one guy and their guy got injured, Thatcher Demko, and this Silvio's guy is like playing like a number one, and there's no like question whether or not he's going to start or not. So, so then like you have that too, right? Like that side of the coin. So
Okay. So first, I look at these series, and then what I'm thinking is that it makes me wonder how this like final Stanley Cup final is going to look like, because it looks like we've got two pretty distinct styles of hockey here, where it's more conservative on one side, more close checking on in the East, less scoring, and then there's just like it seems like we've got more like game breakers in the West here, and goaltending's kind of not as good in the West, and it's a little the scoring is between the two series, it's up, it's way up compared to the East. So that brings us into the West, as you were saying, Vancouver, Edmonton. How are you feeling about this series? Other than the goaltending, although that's a big aspect of it.
I think it's going to go to seven. I think Edmonton's going to win the next game. Then they're going to go back to Vancouver for game seven. It's so hard to pick this one, honestly. Daniel, I have no idea which way it's going to go. I selfishly would just love to see McDavid move on to the conference finals just because he is the GOAT.
Yeah.
And it's just nice to see this time of year the greatest player still playing.
Exactly.
That's nothing against Vancouver. They have a fucking amazing team.
Yeah.
And they've taken a huge step in becoming like an actual contender. No one saw this coming. Their coach is great. Rick Tocchet's, you know, a great coach. And they got something special for there for sure for years to come. But yeah, I want to see Edmonton win. Having said that, like if you were to tell me after last night, you know, pick a series winner, Edmonton being down 3-2, and like I would say that, you know, home ice is a pretty big advantage in this series. And if Game 7's in Vancouver, which it is, yeah, I'll probably lean towards the Canucks advancing. Yeah, like just strictly based on the fact that I think if Edmonton wins the next game, which I do believe they will, Vancouver will, Rick Tocchet will have them ready and Vancouver will respond in Game 7. But then you could look at it another way where if it does go to Game 7, Edmonton does have the, you know, big time players to win that game.
Yeah.
So I just want to see it go to 7, their next game Saturday. So hopefully Edmonton pulls that out and we could see a Game 7.
Right, okay. So Game 7 is in Vancouver, right?
Yeah, Game 6, next game's in Edmonton.
And keeping in my style today of working off vibes, Canucks like to think of themselves as the Leafs of the West. So I think that if they go to the Game 7, they're gonna fuck it up. They're gonna blow it, right?
I don't know. Like Canucks fans are like they're pretty arrogant and crazy on Twitter.
Yeah,
which is wild because like they're one of the very few Canadian teams like. To have not won anything,
exactly.
In their time,
yeah.
Right? Like, okay, like Leafs haven't won in 60 years or whatever, but you know they have won, in the past, and you know they are, you know, I understand the Canucks went to the Stanley Cup Finals, but
they did.
You know, they are a team that has been around for a really long time,
and
you know the Habs have won cups, and then you got the Senators who haven't won anything, but. Yeah, I feel like Canucks, maybe just because they're so starving for a championship, like you know, they talk a lot of talk out there. And
it's nice
when they get eliminated, but...
I just think, always think that Vancouver has this, just the city, it has this, it always wants to be like a big city so bad. Like, I feel like they had a riot. Just because it's like, what would a big city do? Like, let's have a riot because we're so mad.
Yeah. And it's crazy because, like, Vancouver doesn't strike you as that riot town.
Right, exactly.
You know?
it's so chill.
Like, okay, when Montreal riots, it's okay, they're fucking crazy.
Exactly.
French fans.
Exactly.
Like, we understand why they're rioting. We have protocols for the riot.
Right.
But, like, in Vancouver, when they rioted, like, it was like, what is it, like, this whole, like, you know, like, it's almost like everyone just, like, just got out of their comfort zone or something.
Yeah, exactly. They just didn't know what to do.
Like, yeah, they just didn't know what to do with themselves. And I'm like, okay, I guess we'll riot. Like, but yeah, listen, I don't, if Vancouver does advance, I would like to see them go to the finals. It's just always nice to have a Canadian team in there. But yeah, selfishly, just for the strict aspect of Connor McDavid, I think he's the greatest player right now in this generation. I want to see him continue to play.
Can you imagine Oilers, Avs, Western Conference?
Yeah, that would
final.
Be fun.
That would be crazy.
That would be fun. But I think Dallas is going to get it done.
Okay,
I really do.
Now tell us why.
You know. Dallas has a great goaltender. They are a solid team up and down. And I just feel like that they have been, like, underestimated all year, and they finished with the most points in the Western Conference in that tough Central Division. And I think they've been the most battle-tested throughout this whole playoffs and throughout this whole, like every series. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they already eliminated Vegas, the Stanley Cup champions. They finished first in their division, which is arguably the hardest division in the league. You know, they're in the Central.
Yeah.
They had to deal with Winnipeg all year. They had to deal with Colorado. Nashville was a good team. And I just think, yeah, I think they're the most battle-tested team up until this point. And Colorado, I don't think it's done for them. Like, I think they could win another Stanley Cup in the future. But if you just look at their roster, like, they are banged. They've played a lot of hockey in the last couple of years. They are banged up.
Yeah.
You know, no Drouin. I think Nikushkin just got, he got sent to a program for reasons. And, you know, they've been without their captain, Landeskog, for a long, long time. It seems like they're a little banged up. And they're doing everything they can to fight. And maybe if they were healthy, they would be the team to take out Dallas. But I think Dallas is peaking at the right time. They've been the most battle tested. They're healthy. And I just believe they're going to get it done. But I would love to see MacKinnon versus McDavid in the playoffs again.
Yeah.
I think that would have been great. I just don't think it's going to happen this year. But both teams are down 3-2. So it would take a lot for that to happen right now. Not saying that it can't happen, because both these West series have been so close, but I believe Dallas is going to get it done. And you know, Dallas, they're a team that's been to conference finals. No one really talks about them. They went to the Cup finals in 2021, I believe, or 2020, and they lost to Tampa. You know, who knows? This could be their year as well. Like, they're a really good hockey club.
Indeed. Okay, so let's take a quick round around the NBA. Have you been following NBA playoffs?
I have. I would say this. The series to watch is Denver-Minnesota.
Yeah.
It's been a great series, back and forth. You know, Anthony Edwards, Nikola Jokic, it's been a good storyline. Like, one game this guy goes off, one game the next guy goes off, and it's been like, you know, home court has really mattered there as well. It's been electric, that series. I think it's kind of a coming out party for Anthony Edwards.
Yeah.
Right now the series is tied 3-3. I believe Denver's going to take it in 7. Minnesota's a good young team, but I just don't think that, like, takes to beat the former champs. And then, yeah, you got another Dallas team, the Mavericks.
Right.
You know, they've been playing really well as well. Again, they're playing a younger team with less playoffs experience in the OKC Thunder.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be Dallas-Denver in the Western Conference Finals. And as for the East, I really believe that, I mean, the Knicks are up 3-2.
Yeah.
I thought Indiana was in that series at the beginning, but I really believe the TV sponsors want to see New York, Boston in the conference finals.
They would love
finals.
That, yeah. But I don't think it's, yeah, I don't think it's a scam.
And they would love,
though,
that in the NHL, too.
Yeah. I don't think it's, but I don't think it's conspiracy, though. I don't think there's a conspiracy here. I think it's just that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't either. But, you know, first couple games, you know, looked really fishy. Some questionable calls on the ref. But,
yeah,
you know what? That's just basketball everywhere. But, yeah, Boston has had, like, a cakewalk to the Eastern Conference Finals almost,
right,
it seems like,
yeah,
every year. Like, they, you know, destroyed Cleveland. I forget who they played in the first round. But, you know, the Celtics seem to make it there every year. So it would be nice to see Boston, New York. Boston's probably going to go back to the finals. But,
I think it would
be really cool to see the Knicks.
There seems to be a lot of New York, yeah, love here in Toronto, just,
yeah,
because of the trades.
Well, with OG and OB, yeah, yeah,
And the Pacers.
And I just want to.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I just wanted to say this about, I don't know if you had planned to talk about this or not, but, you know, LeBron James showing up at that Cavs game the other day.
Right.
It got me thinking, like, he would be, like, if the playoffs, you know, me and you were both, like, 30, 31 years old.
Yeah.
We grew up in the LeBron era. And love him or hate him, the playoffs aren't the same without him.
That's true.
And I just think he's getting too old for the Western Conference.
Yeah.
And I think he should go back to Cleveland. I really do.
When with
I
saw his son,
him
yeah.
sitting there courtside. Yeah, when I saw him sitting there courtside, I was like, man, the Cavs, they, like, LeBron should at least give it a year, go back to Cleveland. You could, like, the Cavs could beat the Celtics, anybody in the East with LeBron.
In the
West, the Lakers, I'm sorry, it's just not happening. I don't see LeBron making it out of the second round the rest of his career if he sticks with the Lakers. I just was thinking, like, it would be amazing to see LeBron end his career in the East with the Cavs. And he would have a great shot. Because you look around the East next year, Miami, there looks like they might be in for a little bit of a rebuild. They might get rid of Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
You know, Milwaukee, you know, Giannis ain't too happy there. Damian Lillard looks like he wants out. They just got a new coach. It's a mess.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, I love me some Nick Nurse, but, you know, they seem like a choking team that can never get it done.
Right.
And then all you really have is Boston. And if you're Cleveland and if you get LeBron James, you know, re-sign Donovan Mitchell, you probably get some older players coming there for cheap. I think that would be, you know, that I would welcome back LeBronto.
Yeah.
If LeBron James came back to me, that would be a great storyline finish to his career.
It would be, like, to do it three times, that would be amazing. Like, but the thing is that LeBron James would have to, like, let go of his ego, because why is he in this situation now? Because at a certain point, I mean, I guess this has been for, like, a decade plus now. Like, he has thought of himself as a GM, and the harsh truth is that he is a terrible GM, as with most basketball players, because God love them.
Yeah.
They're basketball players. They're not GMs. They're not there to allocate resources and talent and figure that out and how to make trades. They make the worst trades, and then you end up with a trash-ass team like the Lakers at this point, which is not going to do anything. Like, you're there.
Yeah.
You can go ahead. You can take the reins from here.
Yeah, and I just also think, like, you're right, 100%, but also I don't trust Anthony Davis as a co-star anymore because he's just so injury prone. And if you're LeBron and you're like, what is he, like 39, 40 now?
Yeah.
And you're still super healthy. You spend all this money on your body. You're still averaging 20 something points a game. You're still a top 10 player in the league. Like, and then you have this guy, you know, next to you who is like 10 years younger than you, but he can't stay on the court and you're trying to still win a championship. And this is not, you know, what happens to basketball players. Like, it's no offense or anything, but, you know, you should try to, you know, get out of there and look for a better opportunity to win. And I think if LeBron left the Lakers, it would work out for both of them, because the Lakers, like, they're going to mortgage everything they have if LeBron stays for another 2 years to try to win. And I don't think they will win. And then in 2 years, LeBron's going to retire and they're going to be left with nothing. And they're probably going to be in, you know, the same situation when Kobe left and retired, where they were a trash team for like 5 years. So, you know, I think if they both went their separate ways, it would benefit both of them. And then, you know, you have LeBron going back home. Like I said, if LeBron went to the Cavs, easy he could get back to the finals. And if you're back in the finals, you know, and you have LeBron, anything could happen. The hardest part about winning a chip in the West is getting there. Like, it's, you know, all these teams like Denver, and now you have Dallas, and, you know, you're going to have Minnesota and OKC, and, like, just teams that, like, oh, man, like, Phoenix even, you know, they make some moves, and it's just a way deeper conference. But, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
We shall. We shall see what happens. Yes, okay. So we will come back. Yeah, we will come back to that, as I just said. So let's, we've got some, a few other things to note. Have you been just, it's kind of breaking news. Did you hear about the Scottie Scheffler thing?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Where he got, that's the worst commute ever. Damn.
Yeah.
Like, if you haven't, if you don't know what we're talking about, Scottie Scheffler, number one PGA Tour, number one golfer in the world. He was going to the PGA Championship, and there was a blockage on the road, and he tried to evade it, and he was arrested for that. And now there's a, he has a mugshot, and they had to delay the PGA round one, PGA championship, the first round, for an hour. Yeah. How do you, can you imagine if you had like a commute like that?
Yeah, and I just find it crazy how they actually delayed the round where it's like, you know, it's like, yo, this guy's so good that we need to delay the whole friggin' sport.
Exactly. But, exactly.
I thought a sport would be like, all right, like, this guy is cut. Like, he's done for the weekend. Like, his tournament's over.
Yeah.
But I just think, like, yeah, golf is one of those funny sports where, you know, the, you could bend the rules for superstars quite a bit. But, yeah, what a turn of events.
I mean, guess, like, you know. Yeah, golf is also one of those sports where it's like, I feel like he, in that situation, he's completely in his right to be like, do you know who I am, to the police officer?
Like, you know what? You're right. You're right. It's
but
like,
then
I know
all,
where I'm going right now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. But on the other hand, it's like one of the sports where it's like, you can't, like, the cop wouldn't just be able to tell by looking at the guy like, oh yeah, this guy is like a famous guy, or this guy is a professional athlete.
Yeah, because golfers look pretty normal.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, where the hell do you have to go, right?
Yeah. Golf is also that sport where it's like, you know, it's not like you're playing for any hometown team. Like, the Louisville cop, you know, if he's not into golf,
right, exactly.
Know, like, you know, like, it's not like he plays for the Louisville whatever and like, oh, you're that guy. It's like,
yeah.
He's probably just thinking like, yeah, buddy, like, yeah, you know, you'll get to, you know, like, don't worry about your fucking round of golf.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's not like he was on his way to, like, play a round of golf with his buddy or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, He stopped the car, and then they immediately arrested him. They didn't even give him a chance. Damn, this is tough.
Oh. Yeah, that is rough. I mean, it's, you know, you would think like, you know, sometimes fame doesn't really get you anywhere. But yeah, it's a fun story. Honestly, whenever I see athletes getting arrested and stuff, it's like, you know, you just think like, wow, like, yeah, you really think like, okay, like, they're people too. There's some things that money, like, can't get you out
of. That's right, yeah.
I mean, obviously, you know, it could get them out of it, like, but, you know, just at that moment in time, right? Like, wow.
Well, when he got to the golf course, apparently fans were screaming, like, free Scotty.
Hashtag free Scotty.
Yeah. Okay, and then the last thing I wanted to go to, get to was, so apparently, not apparently, we now know that Darren Dattician has died, and he was diagnosed with prostate cancer, and this took place, what, Wednesday? Yeah, we found out about it Wednesday, and it was a shock to everyone because he is a... he was a mainstay on Canadian newscasts, sports newscasts everywhere. Like, he was like, how I would describe him is that he was not like the, don't get me wrong, he was big. Like, everybody who watched sports knew him, right? But he was not like Dan O'Toole. Those guys where it's like, it was like appointment television at a certain period of time. But he was
But
he was like the guy, the brick, the guy who held it down. Like, you'd always be entertained. He was very, he had the energy, he had the, like, the presence. Like, he was the guy to hold it down. Any thoughts?
Yeah. Growing up, me and my buddies always used to, like, mimic Dan O'Toole, like, whether it be on the school bus, like, or whatever, in the schoolyard, like, talking like him, like, just the way he delivered highlights was, like, just very, like, it was very distinct, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And no one did it like him.
Right.
I'm not saying he was the best, and you're right, he wasn't appointment television, but when you turned on your TV and he was on, like, you left it on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, growing up, it was either watching your highlight packs wherever from Sportsnet or TSN. Like, yeah, like, the person doing it had a big, you know, reason why. Like, now everyone just gets it on their phone.
Exactly.
So, like, you'll never have people like stars in that area again, I find. But when Darren Dietschen was on, you kept it on. And so many times, Darren Dietschen had moments where they were just, like, they were very awkward, almost like dad jokes.
Yeah.
He would present on the air. But it worked.
Yeah.
Like, it just worked from him. You know what I mean? And it was just funny, and it was something, like, just very Canadian about it. And, like, he's, like yeah, like, it was, like, warm. And he was very good at what he did. I believe he gets, like, overlooked sometimes because of, like, you know, Jay Onright and the Dan O'Toole era. Everybody knew SportsCenter as, like, them. But Darren Dietschen did it way before them. Like, he was on Sports Desk, which was the predecessor to SportsCenter.
Yeah.
Before ESPN, like, bought shares into TSN, and that's why TSN is able to use all of, like, ESPN's branding with SportsCenter and whatever, and the colors and the themes. But,
right.
Yeah, growing up, SportsCenter was always a very, like, as a kid, it got you hooked to watch the highlights. Like, it was a very loud intro, lots of graphics, you know, almost seemed like explosions going on. And then, when Darren Dietschen would be there, like, he was also, like, an explosion.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, like, it would be, like, it would be such a perfect segue. Like, he just made it work so well for what it was. You know what? We don't have a lot of famous sportscasters up here in Canada because like all our stuff now is simulcasted American, you know, shows. I mean, we might have a few hockey shows here and there, but there's no more off the record. Like, there's no more, you know, Jay and Dan is just Jay now. But there's no more Tim and Sid. Like, you know, whether you liked those shows or didn't like them, they were important because they were made by Canadians and they provided Canadians with jobs, like me and you both being in this industry. Like, you know, like, a lot of the jobs now, like, there's not a lot of jobs because of shows and a lot of sports shows, they just get simulcasted through, like, American television. So when you had, like, a guy who was thriving and, like, made it, like, man, that was fucking cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You looked at it like, holy shit, like, that's really cool that he's able to do that. Like, so, he was one of the best, man, and he will definitely be missed. And he was just, like, the great thing about him, and I'm not taking anything away from the people who do the SportsCenter now, or, like, you know, but he was a jock. He was and he was just fucking yapping sports, and that's what was so perfect about it. like that's, like, what sports is. You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, not taking away of anyone who steps into the scene now, and, you know, but it's just, like, he was, like, the guy, and he didn't shy away from that. And I feel like a lot of times, like, with sports cast now, they try to make it, like, neutral, where, like, you know, professional presenting of sports and highlights. But, like, no, like, he presented the sports like he was, like, he presented the sports to you like you came into the office the next day and you were talking with, like, your buddy about the game last night, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
Like sitting the water cooler. He's like, fuck, he's got his like his shirt like rolled up. He's like sweating a little bit, talking about the highlights and shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I do agree that you find that just like broadcasters in general, they're afraid to have to lean into their identity or like their character, right? Like it's not just that he was a jock, is he was okay with it and he just like put himself out there and he was distinctly Canadian as well. Yeah.
And he embraced it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And he was from Saskatchewan, you know, you kind of heard it in his voice.
Right.
And, yeah, like, it was just like he almost brought, like, the whole nation, like he had a little bit of everything, you know, like, that people could identify with, like, throughout the whole nation. And, yeah, and look, like, you hear, like, his coworkers speaking about him after, like, his death and, like, yeah, like everybody loved him, and it's like I said, like Canadian sports television is pretty much gone, but it's nice to see, like people like appreciated, you know, hopefully one day like we could have some real Canadian sports shows come back, like, you know, like TSN or Sportsnet will invest in like. Canadian broadcasters talking sports, right? Like on like talk shows and
well,
stuff like that.
It would
be kind of cool.
Maybe Bet Rivers will start a streaming website where they just talk sports as well as get people to gamble. Who knows?
Yeah, and there's a lot of that, but I'm just saying like in terms of like, you know, appointment television, like on your TV, I remember I never liked Lanford.
Right.
I always thought he was biased. I always thought he was like, very pushy in the way he would talk. And I never really liked him, but man, I used to not be able to miss a show. I loved the show.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? It was like, fuck, like he like really like brings it. Like he, you know, after he was off the air, I actually missed that show a lot. And, Tim and Tid as well. Like, you know what? Some days you used to love him. Some days you used to hate him. I'm kind of going off topic right now.
Fair enough.
It's like, you need that. You need that. Like, right. Like you need, like, that's what makes sports television. And right now we don't really have that in Canada. It's a missing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, there's also been like a lot of layoffs with Bell did a big bunch. We're really getting off topic here, but like Bell did a bunch.
It's an important topic.
Yeah, yeah, there are a lot of the TS. I mean, like basically all of the TSN radio stations were closed and turned into like comedy channels. Or something like that.
It's like the irony in that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, like, it's just funny. It's not, but it's like, you know, a lot of, like, I don't know, I guess, like, business structures and stuff, things we can't see, but, like, yeah, I grew up loving, like, sports broadcasts and stuff like that. And, you know, that's, you know, why I would watch more sports, because I would watch sports shows and they would talk about things. And then I would, you know, you would start watching more and, you know, expanding your horizon. And, it's almost like those personalities got me into sports.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, me and you both went to broadcasting school here in this country.
Yeah.
Like there isn't many jobs out there. I mean,
all right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like, go ahead. Yeah. Final thought, though.
No, it's kind of depressing, right? I mean, I kind of work in the field now, kind of don't, but
Well, I guess I will say I'm going to pour one out for Darren, and also that with Darren's passing, like a little bit of us and a little bit of the just sports broadcasting industry passed away as well.
Yeah.
And on that, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did my internship at TSN, so I've met him before.
Yeah.
He was a great guy, always had a smile on his face. But yeah, it that's a poor one out for him. He was a beauty, he was a legend, and you know, hopefully we get more of that like in the future.
All right. Until we speak again.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Au revoir.
Yeah. Au revoir. Bye. Bye. So if you made it this far, you're in this special bonus time where I'm just going to ramble on for a bit. So enjoy. Let's go. You know what really gets my goat? Really, it really gets my goat. To be continued. I'll tell you that in a second. Earlier this evening, I went into a float tank that with no sound or, you know, sensory deprivation tank. And it's always a good time. I enjoy it. I get to just be at one with my thoughts, etc., etc. But I came out of it energized, and I completely forgot that it was a holiday. I planned having it because it was a Sunday, a chill day. I'd get out, maybe just go to bed afterwards. I get out and it's friggin' like Mardi Gras outside. Everyone's just like whooping it up. Got the blaring music. Drunken people, just a wild ass time. Excuse my language. It was a lot to take in. I just walked around for, I'd say, like about a half an hour, just confused with what was going on at the time. And I probably looked like I was completely out of it. Just to have no sensory input whatsoever, and then to come out and see all that was a little bit intense, to be quite honest with you, to be quite frank. I should say also that I apologize in advance to Gail King. She's a beautiful woman, and I'm glad she had her hamburger and put no effort into her swimsuit issue. These are the times we live in, man. It's what the people want, and I'm happy that the people are getting what they want. Gail King, the sex symbol of a generation. I mean, I saw the pictures. She wore 7 different swimsuits. It's pretty. She looked pretty good for a 65-year-old. I'm not gonna covet anyone's lady, but she did look pretty good. And so kudos to her. Yeah. So the thing that really gets my goat is when people have open signs and they're lit up, but the sign has no correspondence to the actual hours which the establishment is open. So they just have it on all the time, blaring, open. But shouldn't it be off when the place is closed? Isn't that the point? Then you just if you're just going to have a sign that says open and is on all the time as if your place is open all the time. Why don't you just have like a sign that says something that's actually of use to someone? Like, have a great day, or keep at it, or hang in there, baby. Like, those are some positive affirmations that could really help someone in a time of need. Yesterday, I was walking down the street, and a young lady said that I was beautiful, and that was I was a little taken aback by that. I thought she meant that I was beautiful as like I was one of God's children and all of God's children are beautiful, but she didn't look old enough to be that kind of Christian. She has also seemed a little drunk, so I don't think that was what she was pushing at, but I appreciated the sentiment anyways. It's always nice when someone gives you a positive statement. It's nice, even if it's a little weird to hear from a stranger. You know what's a good song? Spit on a Stranger by Pavement. That album is very underrated. It's got a lot of great hits on it. Stephen Malkmus, love that guy. He's a cool dude, and he has a pretty good Twitter/X account. Did you hear that they're getting rid of Twitter officially? It's now just X. And they're going to have service with the videos called X Videos. No, they're not going to have that. That's silly. I'm kidding, everybody. What else? What else have I got here in my notes? Oh, I don't have any notes. I'm rambling, as I said. Is there anything that was on my mind? No, I pretty much cleared my mind in that sense deprivation tank. So my mind is just pretty much like like a cartoon, just dancing, blowing in one of those flutes or something, you know, doing one of those do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do- I cannot remember for the life of me. So I just wanted to thank everybody out there. No, you know what? I don't want to thank anybody. Like, there's times where you do want to thank people. I don't want to thank anybody right now. Right now, I just want to go to sleep, maybe rest a little bit, then I'll get up and have a cup of coffee. Maybe a cookie or a slice of apple pie. Although I usually wait until later in the day to have apple pie. What do you think? Right. What do you think? You can let me know how you feel about anything I said or anybody has ever said on this podcast by leaving a comment. I don't have an email address right at the moment, but you can go on the social media websites that are associated with this program, and you can say, "Hey, what are you doing, buddy? Buddy, buddy, buddy. Buddy, hey buddy." You are like, great stuff, you're doing good work out there, or please stop, for the sake of everyone involved, please just stop, you need to stop. Like, all comments are appreciated. All rights reserved. All wrongs reversed. That's something that was always.